Belinda presents this unabridged recording of The Night Manager, written by John le Carré and read by Michael J. Stone.
Herr Caspar again lifted his famous head. The throb of a powerful motor became discreetly audible above the beating of the wind. He rolled up his bulletins from the beleaguered Zurich Stock Exchange and slipped an elastic band over them. He dropped the roll into his investment drawer, locked it and nodded to Mario, the head chasseur. He eased a comb from his back pocket and skimmed it through his wig. Mario scowled at Pablo, who in turn simpered to Benito, the ridiculously pretty apprentice from Lugano, who was probably favouring both of them. All three had clustered inside the lobby for shelter, but now with Latin bravado they breasted the storm, buttoning their capes at the neck as they grabbed their umbrellas and trolleys, and vanished, swallowed by the snow. It never happened, Jonathan thought, watching each signal of the car's approach. There is only the snow, racing over the forecourt. It's a dream. But Jonathan was not dreaming. The limousine was real, even if it was floating on a white void. A stretch limousine, longer than the hotel, was berthing at the front entrance like a black liner nosing into dock, while the chasseurs in their capes scurried and pranced to make it fast. All but the impertinent Pablo, who in a moment of inspiration had unearthed a curling broom and was delicately picking the snowflakes from the red carpet. For one last blessed moment, it was true. A gust of snow did blank everything out, and Jonathan was able to imagine that a tidal wave had swept the liner back to sea, to founder against the crags of the surrounding hilltops, so that Mr. Richard Onslow Roper and his officially licensed bodyguards and whoever else made up the party of 16 had perished to a man in their private Titanic in the memorable great storm of January 1991. God rest their souls. But the limousine had returned. Furs, well-grown men, a beautiful long-legged young woman, diamonds and gold wristbands and castles of matching black luggage were emerging like plundered booty from its plush interior. A second limousine had joined it, now a third, a whole convoy of limousines. Already Herr Caspar was propelling the swing doors at the speed best suited to the party's progress. First an untidy brown coat of camel hair loomed into the glass and was cautiously rotated into focus, a grimy silk muffler dangling over its collar, surmounted by a soggy cigarette, and the pouchy stare of a scion of the English upper classes. No 50-year-old Apollo, he. After the camel hair came a navy blue blazer in his 20s, the blazer single-breasted for the cross drawer, and eyes shallow as paint.